Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Platinum Executive Director Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, August 8, 2016, Moore Success Team Legal Shield Conference Call. To begin tonight's call, I want to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and to $100,000 ring earner, who has personally sold over 6,000 memberships and qualified for Performance Club for over 12 years, and that's Miss Joan Buckner. Joan, welcome to the call, and congratulations on a great week.
Ah, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I'm excited because I wanted to introduce such a dear friend of mine. I have to tell you about this lady. She just hit manager, but we served together on a national association board of directors, and I admired her from the first, just how she was able to take charge, be professional, multitask. And then she taught me my position on the board of directors, which I greatly appreciate her mentorship on that. And then when she became president of the association this last year, I was just shocked how much she could handle and put on her plate, because she was doing like 12 other things besides that. So when we had a serious conversation about Legal Shield and what it could do for her, she just went for it, and I'll let her tell the rest of the story, but just love this lady. Her name is Lemetria Davis, so over to you, Lemetria.
Thank you so much, Joan. I really appreciate you being patient with me. Like she said, I've been have so many roles and hats. I am from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I am a licensed insurance broker. I work for a large employer company, and they gave me a 1% raise in April. And that's when I went to Joan and I said, it is time for me to make that move. So since going to Oklahoma, I have become gotten a raise and became manager. I've recruited new members on my team, and I am on track to drive that BMW next year. And I hope to see everyone that's on this call in the Bahamas. Back to you, Joan.
Awesome. So we are locking arms and taking Albuquerque and the rest of the nation by storm with this group of people that we have. Just love them. You know, they always say that friends are the family that you choose, and I'm so glad to be part of this family. So thank you, Mr. Moore.
Well, thank you, Joan. Congratulations to you, Ms. Davis, and congratulations, Joan, for a great week last week. Now to introduce tonight's special guest speaker, I'm going to go back to Ada, Oklahoma, to an original Millionaire Club member, a Platinum 5 executive director, a $500,000 ringer, and the leader of our Moore Success Team now for over 30 years, and that's my dad, Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore?
Yes, sir, Randy. It's an honor to introduce this gentleman tonight. You know, a $1 million ringer. Just think, guys, $1 million and one of what a wonderful thing. And he's in the Millionaire Club. He's a Platinum Jacket earner, Chairman's Award winner. I'll tell you what, he's a former CEO, co-CEO of the company. But most of all, he's a great friend to the Moore Success Team and a personal friend of mine, my friend and yours, Mr. Mark Brown.
Well, thanks, Ken, very much. I just got to tell everybody on the call, and it's an honor to be on Ken Moore's call, and I always enjoy doing this because I just always enjoy talking about the business that we've all become a part of and that I've been a part of for about 23 years. But, Ken, you've been there a little bit longer, right?
32 years, Mark.
Yeah, congratulations. And I was talking to Ken just real quickly before I get started. I was talking to Ken earlier today, and it's always a good day when Ken calls me. I there's nobody in our business I'd rather talk to than Ken. We've kind of been through a lot of things with our company, a lot of great people. We've lost some great people, but I'll tell you, every time I get off the phone with Ken Moore, I feel like going out and like a rookie, Ken. I feel like starting again. I feel like just going out and working 24/7. So I appreciate that about
it's mutual.
You.
It's mutual, my friend.
I appreciate it. I really do, and that's what's happened in this business of ours. Having been here a while now, is you just create because of a common interest and all the people that we work with have the same goals in mind. They want to better themselves. They want to better their families. They want to better our business. And we all do that. And it's just a great group of people to work with. That's why it's so much fun to go on the trips, the cars. So what I want to talk about tonight is two things that are key to the business. One is recruiting, and the second, I want to talk about meetings. And you know, I can talk all night about recruiting. Recruiting is an amazing thing. Recruiting is something that every business on the face of this planet has to do in one form or the other. When I had my printing business in Fort Worth, Texas, back in the late 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, you know, even though we had a printing business, you wouldn't think you recruited in the printing business, but you did recruit in the printing business because you always had to bring in new people into your business in order to make that business thrive, because you always would lose people by attrition for various reasons. You would continue to lose people, and people is what makes your business work. You can't do it by yourself. You don't want to do it by yourself. At least I never did. So recruiting is part of every business. And so one of the things I learned about recruiting from my father was you've got to talk to everybody. You just have to talk to everybody. Now, I used to not want to do that, and I kind of let him do that because he was good at it. So he would go out and have a meal somewhere or take his shoes to be shined or fixed or whatever the case was, and he would come back with somebody's name, a business card, and he would either sell them some printing or he would recruit them into our printing business. In other words, he would hire them. And I kind of learned from that. I never was very good at doing that. But when I started my Legal Shield business back in early 1995, right here in Fort Worth, Texas, one of the things I wanted to tell everybody tonight, and I've told this story a lot, but some of you may not have heard it. I got into the business because of the membership, because of the product. Now, I'm not telling you that's how you have to get into the business. That's just my story. But I had a problem going on, an ongoing situation. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to handle it. I was talking to the wrong people about it. I was trying to ignore it in certain cases, certain instances, and it was just a losing proposition. Fortunately, a printing customer came by. It was a gentleman I knew for a long time, and he told me about back then, of course, we called prepaid legal. He told me about the membership, and after a lot of objections, I finally bought the membership. Fabulously, and so just real quickly, what happened was a company that I did business with had me owing a lot of money I did not owe, and so they wrote a letter on my behalf, Ross and Matthews, who's a law firm in Texas to this very day. They wrote a letter on my behalf, and because of that letter, I was exonerated of all the charges in this problem I had been dealing with for months and months and months. I was losing sleep over it. I was obsessing over it. I was becoming unproductive over it. And after I talked to the prepaid legal lawyer back then, and they wrote a letter for me, and when I got the notice that from them that I had been exonerated of all the charges, it was like I started over. It was like a new day. I can't even tell you how good that felt. So what I'm telling you that story for is to tell you this, is that for the next few weeks, every human I came in contact with, I told them about this membership I had bought that I had never heard of before, that did these things for me, and I did a really good job of telling people about that membership. Now, I was not an associate. I was just a member. People started asking me about it. They wanted to know more about it. Where's the company? I didn't even know the company was in Oklahoma. I knew nothing about it. Long story short, After a few weeks, I finally came to my senses, went to 80 Oklahoma, checked out the company, saw what it was, saw what it did, saw what the passion was. And what happened, the reason I tell you that story, is as soon as I became an associate, I went back to all the folks that I had talked to and told them about the membership, and those people became the core business that I have to this very day. Back in early 1995, they became my core business. And what that taught me was that I don't have to sell anything. I just have to, as Harlan Stonecipher used to say, I just have to transfer my belief to other people. And I found out that everybody wants a business, because at the 1995 convention in Oklahoma City at the Marriott, and I believe it was March of 1995, gentleman on stage asked two questions. The first question was, why are you here? And we were supposed to write our answer down. He told us there is no wrong answer. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. Just write it down. Why are you here today? Why are you here at this convention in Oklahoma City? And by the way, there was about 600 people there at that convention in 1995. We sat at round tables. So I wrote it down. I've got it on my desk sitting here looking at it. I was thinking about this call tonight. And what I wrote down was, the reason I was here is I wanted to stop dreading Monday morning because I was sick of the printing business. I was sick of fixing the equipment. I was sick of trying to collect debt from customers. I was sick of the whole experience. I was worn out with it. Didn't want to do it anymore. So I wrote that down. I didn't want to dread Monday morning anymore. And the second thing they asked us is, where do you want to be in rank and in income and levels and so forth? Where do you want to be by the next convention? And I wrote that down. I said, I wrote down, I want to be on stage next year because the people on stage I was hearing in 1995 had success. They enjoyed what they were doing. They left their old occupations behind. In a lot of cases, things like me, they didn't enjoy doing. So I left that convention so fired up, I made a huge list of people on the way home, wrote it down, and I got so in tune with that list of people and calling them and setting appointments with them. We didn't have any social media back then, barely had a cell phone. I just set appointments with people at every donut shop, every coffee shop, every restaurant, every place I could meet somebody and tell them the story, tell them about the business. And I did that nonstop for several years. Every day I had 5 to 10 appointments, and I worked those appointments, and I worked them almost 7 days a week. I can remember doing a three-way call at midnight my time on the West Coast, which was 10 o'clock their time, and my wife and family thought I was nuts. But I worked it and worked it and worked it because recruiting became the key thing to me, because I knew that if I could find other people like me that, A, dreaded Monday morning, that had the same type feeling in their lives, that they wanted to change it, they wanted to do something different. I used to think I was the only one that dreaded Monday morning, and I found out that I am not the only one that dreaded Monday morning. A lot of people wanted to stop feeling that way. You know, I always kind of jokingly, but it's the truth, talk about, you know, I started dreading Monday morning, Ken, Friday night. And I really dreaded Monday morning, Sunday evening. It was just, you had to go back to that grind again, and I didn't want to do that. So I look for the people, and I tell the story, talk to them, make appointments, and I look for the people that dread Monday morning, because that's the majority of the people that we are around in our lives are people that have the same situation, and that's simply what I do. I just literally make as many appointments as I can. In my original list, and I've still got the legal pad I made my original list on and scratched them off as I either got them in the business, sold them a membership, or both, or I kept them on the list until they decided to change their mind. I never quit dealing with them, working with them, talking with them. In fact, just about 3 weeks ago, I got a call from a guy that was on my original list that never got into business with me, and now it's coming into the business. And that's just how it works. I got so that I lived with that list. I had a pad by my nightstand, by my bed with a pen, because I would think of people in the middle of the night. I was so in tune with that list. I would think of people in the middle of the night, and I would get up and write them down because I didn't want to forget them for the next morning. So I kind of consider I have a retail business in a way. I have a business, I have a recruiting business, and I have a membership selling business, and my open sign, my neon open sign, is always on. It's just simply always on. So the second phase of how I built my business was, the second phase of it was, I was dealing with the gentleman that helped put me in the business, Dave Cibola, and one of the things he told me was, you got to go to the convention, which I didn't want to do. But he convinced me to go to the convention. I went to the convention. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And the next step, so after I went to the convention, went home, I had all these meetings set up, I was talking to people. I said, Dave, what do I do next? He said, man, what night is your business briefing, your opportunity meeting? What night do you have your meeting? And I said, I don't have a meeting. I don't know what a meeting is. And you have to realize back in early 1995, there wasn't many people doing meetings back then, especially here in Texas. There wasn't anybody doing a meeting, period. So I fussed about that, didn't want to do it. I said, well, what night is your meeting on? He said, it's Monday night. And I said, well, I can't do it on Monday night. There's Monday night football. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. He said, well, how much income do you derive from the Dallas Cowboys? And I said, well, obviously I don't derive any income. And he said, well, if you want to make a living, don't worry about the Dallas Cowboys, man. Have a meeting and be like the post office or the mailman. And you have that meeting come rain, shine, sleet, or snow. You never cancel it. You're always there. And count on it. It'll be a business builder for you. And so I started meeting Monday night, first at my office, my old print shop office off Williams Road in Fort Worth, on the west side of Fort Worth, Texas. Started that meeting, eventually moved it to a better facility. But I got so successful with that meeting on Monday night that I started a meeting in Dallas. I started luncheon. So eventually I had a meeting almost every night of the week except for Friday. And I had a luncheon on Friday. The point was, the meeting became, again, it became like a retail store. Invite people to your retail store for what reason? To show them what you have. So I recruited people into my business, duplicated that process, and we grew our business because it's just transfer leadership. It's just, you know, show people what to do, lead the way, and then kind of get out of the way, if you will. And I'll give you a thought about an opportunity meeting, and I got this from John Addison's book. I had never thought about it this way. I kind of thought about it this way, but I didn't articulate it in as good a language as John Addison has put it. Here's my new focus on meetings, whether it's luncheons, whether it's no matter what kind of meeting it is, Super Saturday, doesn't matter, your weekly business briefing, whatever it is. Here's the key thing that I think in my mind about meetings, and that's why I want to have the meeting room full. Everybody on this call has been at a restaurant, right? I'm sure everybody here has gone to have a meal at a restaurant, and you look around, and the restaurant has one goal in mind, other than cooking good food. They want to fill that restaurant up because they've got tables with chairs, and it doesn't do them any good to have empty tables and chairs. So they do whatever they can, you know, spread the word through a networking type situation where a friend tells a friend tells a friend tells a friend. They advertise, they do whatever they can to fill that restaurant up, because the more empty seats they have, the less they're going to be around. So here's the John Addison comment that has even sparked a renewed enthusiasm for me, is every seat at your opportunity meeting, at your business briefing, at your luncheon, it's your Super Saturday, whatever the event is. Maybe it's a home meeting. It doesn't matter. But every seat in whatever event you have, every seat is a profit center. And if you fill those seats, your business will explode. It's just as simple as it is, man. Don't make the business any more complicated than that. Every seat in whatever briefing, whatever event you have, I don't care if it's training, I don't care what it is, every seat you have. So if you're doing a business briefing, you got 30 seats, those 30 seats need to be filled and hopefully filled to overflowing, because that's where the profit center comes in your business. So with that, Ken, I'll turn it back to you, sir.
Well, Mark, you hit it right dead center in that. People asked me the other day, how do you work this business? And I said, well, there's three things. Serve God, take care of your family, and help people. You know, if you do those three things, it's going to work out.
That's right.
And helping people, it comes to everything you just addressed. And Mark, I think Randy'd like to ask you a question too, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Randy?
Yeah, Mark, we've got a few of our Millionaire Club members on the call tonight. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go to just a few of them to ask you a question, maybe a comment. Would that be okay?
Sure, you bet.
All right, let's go to Alabama and to $250,000 Ring Earner Millionaire Club member, Mr. Jimmy Parrish. Jimmy, are you on?
Can you hear me okay, Randy?
Yes, sir.
I've heard of Jimmy Parrish.
Hey, Mark, it's always great to hear you. And I've heard you for 18 years, I think, and I don't think I've ever heard you as excited and as pumped about what's going on as I do now. And it's great to hear that from you because you've done such a wonderful job as you explained how you got started. And again, I've heard the Prince story before, but it never hurts to hear it again and with the enthusiasm in your voice. But I just want to commend you because not only did you go out and build that business with a lot of folks in recruiting, but you've got a massive team of B2B producers. And just share with the folks on the line tonight some of the things I know I've told and I know Ken Moore has said, but, you know, everybody's got to recruit and you don't want to get it out of order. But what would you say to the people that are trying to build a team and they're looking for people that want to operate all the different spectrums of the wheel, as Dave Savula so well put?
Jimmy,
you are not the host. Please press the star key to connect to the conference and wait.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Okay. That wheel is a great thing, Jimmy. I love the wheel, and I've always kind of operated under that. So I'm going to give you a couple of sports analogies, but this is kind of how I think about it. So the way I one of the things that happened to me accidentally when I got in the business was I was confused about some terminology and some things back then. I know Ken will remember, and you may remember this too, Jimmy, or probably do. We had something called placemat brochures. And
I do remember those, yes.
And you know, there was some language in our business back then that I didn't understand. And so it confused me a little bit. The comp plan confused me a little bit. So I came up with the verbiage that somebody asked me how the compensation works, and I said, I don't know, man, but here's the deal. The service works and the check's cash. Don't worry about it. That'll take care of itself. Because I couldn't explain it back then, really. And so what the point I'm getting at is that I got in 1995, there wasn't the infrastructure we have today. There wasn't obviously social media and all those other things. So I was trying to learn from my upline, and Dave Savula was not a B2B or a group or a direct sales type guy. And so I got a little frustrated one day, and I called the home office, 8 Oklahoma, and this was like maybe April, May of 1995, somewhere in there, and I got a hold of a guy that we all remember. He's no longer with us corporately. He retired, but I accidentally got a hold of Keith Davis. Now, I didn't know Keith Davis. Back then, he was on the marketing line, and I think there was just a handful of folks there. Ken may remember that back in 1995. There was only a handful of folks up there in that department, and so I kind of vented my frustration to Keith Davis, and Keith said, well, there's something we have here called a group school, and he says, I don't know really all about it, but he says the people that come out of that school really understand the business when they leave it. So I said, well, by gosh, that's for me. So I drove up to 8 Oklahoma, and in fact, and I know Ken doesn't remember this, but the first training I was in with Catherine Walden, she invited Ken in at the very beginning of the meeting to kind of welcome there's about 30 some odd folks there in this group school. It was a 3-day school back then. And Ken actually welcomed us to the school. And so that was cool. So Catherine Walden went through the basics of our business comp plan, understanding it all. And then she showed me that, you know, you can take this membership and you can go sell it as an employee benefit. They had just started the small business plan. The CDL was in place already, so she told us about some of these other products. So what that did was, since I had a business background, I had clients, I had customers, people I'd dealt with for years, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to be like a offensive football attack. You know, you always hear in football that, especially in pros, and some colleges now too, they do this more, but, you know, you always hear that they have a balanced offensive attack. They don't run all the time. They don't pass all the time. There's a balance between those things. And I kind of adopted that as the method of which I built my business. So when I ran across somebody like a Verna Heath, who became a top group producer, at first, she thought she didn't want to recruit. She didn't think she wanted to build a business. She wasn't really interested in that. So I made sure we went to group school together, and I showed her that side of the business. She jumped into it and became a top producer, and now she's a top recruiter also. So you know, I kind of look at it, Jimmy, as I don't know what everybody's interests are or what they want to do or how they want to do it, and I don't care. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. I just mean I want them to do what's productive for them. So my little motto is recruit people and teach them to produce. Now, the definition of produce can mean several different things. I let them kind of take me where they want to go, and I'm going to make sure I help them learn how to do it the best they can. But no matter who I've ever recruited, whether it's direct sales, you know, a small business, you know, I've recruited people to those markets because, you know, when they tell me certain things, I take them to what we have to fulfill what they want. But those people always, or not always, but a lot of times will tell me they don't want to recruit. I know you may remember Don McKinney. Don McKinney said, "I will never recruit." Well, Don McKinney became the best recruiter we had because he had such a good way. He knew the membership, you know, totally, and he became a great recruiter because of the way he could talk about the membership. And he would just say, "Hey, if I can do this, you can do this. Would you like to make an extra this, or would you, you know," whatever he said, he became a master recruiter. So the business is kind of symmetrical. One thing leads to the other. Dave used to call it a round room. You can't, anybody that you can transfer your belief to, they can never get out of that room, man. You've always got something for them. And so that's kind of how I look at it. I hope that makes sense, Jimmy.
It does. And thanks again. It's all good to hear from you. I look forward to seeing you next month in New Orleans.
You bet.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Parrish. Let's go back to Oklahoma and to another Millionaire Club member, Mr. David Peterman. David, are you on?
I am. Mr. Mark, I tell you, I certainly appreciate you being on tonight. I appreciate your testimony and your passion. I started because I bought a membership, and that's exactly that's what we have. But the recruiting, how do you go about? Are you targeting a specific B2B type thing now, or are you spreading that out? You're working that full wheel like you were talking about. Is there a target market that you think is something that would be helpful for us to know about?
Well, there really is not. In my early years in the business, as far as the kind of the direct sales or B2B side of it, I targeted folks that were already in that marketplace. I used to tell this story. You know, I had a lot of people call on me in the printing business, salespeople, and you know, they would be Pitney Bowes, you know, security alarm salespeople, Yellow Page ad salespeople, long distance, all kinds of things. Some of that's changed today because we don't have some of the same industries as we did back then. Copier salesmen. I had a lot of those folks. They would go business to business, and I learned a lot from what they did because most of them hated what they did, although they were pretty good at it. But in the case of a copier salesman, they had to. Make, you know, qualify somebody credit-wise. They had to demo a machine. And there was just a lot of strings attached. They had to make 30 sales calls a day. They had a call report sheet. And so I thought, well, you know, people, and insurance people as well, people that are selling, worksite marketing, voluntary benefits, things of that nature, I thought, you know, these are people that deal with the public all the time. They kind of know how to talk to people. And so I would target some of those people, but you know, I still do that to a certain degree, but I hope this makes sense. What I found out is if you just talk to a lot of people, make appointments, you know, leave them something, start a conversation, I use identity theft, man, as a big conversation starter a lot of times. There's so many great conversations you can have. That's why I got so in love with articles. That, you know, different news magazines, articles, things would come out that would pertain to the business that we're in, that people that you're wanting to talk to would understand. And so I'm of a mind that, yes, you can target some people. There's nothing wrong with that. but I like to just talk to a lot of people, and because you don't know who you're going to run across, and you don't know who they're going to know. So the best thing I can do is I can recruit a Verna Heath or somebody that maybe is not in a direct sales type thing, but man, she knows a lot of people. And that's what happened in that particular case. Not only did she take off because she happened to love selling, which is rare in a lot of cases, but she knew a lot of people. So I've always done what I call a game plan interview. It's a business plan. If you go to start any business, you're a fool if you don't have a business plan, in my opinion. So what's your business plan? So I'm going to sit down with the people that I recruit, and I'm going to go through my business plan or their business plan that I've kind of got an outline of, and I'm going to ask them the questions and find out what they like and find out where their, you know, customers, client bases, databases, who they've done business with, and I'll find out, and then you can tap that person, and then you tap their market, and that's where you really have fun with this. And it's kind of like inviting somebody to a meeting. So let's just say that Ken Moore is going to come down to Fort Worth, and he's going to be a guest at an opportunity meeting here. Well, I want to get people to Ken Moore's meeting. I don't want to just get one person. I go out and talk to one guy and take him. That's great, but I want to get that guy recruited. I want to do it ahead of time enough that I can get him recruited and get him to invite people and get his people recruited and get them to invite people. So I would like to take 30 people to Ken Moore's meeting. So that's kind of my kind of MO on how I try to operate is just talk to everybody you can, because you never know where they're going to lead you. You know, Wilburn Smith and Ken both used to say this on our group calls years ago. People would say, well, man, how do you get your leads? And Wilburn would go, well, when I walk out of a business I just called on, I look to the left and look to the right. So that's kind of what I do with recruiting. I just look to the left and look to the right. I was working with a personal trainer recently, and she's a very entrepreneurial person. Well, the first thing you do is talk to her about the business, because I know that she knows a lot of people. I don't want to go on too long here. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's what I was looking for. You know, you're targeting everyone, giving them the opportunity to make the decision, see where they're going to fall. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. Mark, I want to tell you how much we just appreciate you being our special guest speaker tonight. Appreciate you and Denise and what you brought to the company and all you've done over the years. We've known you many years now, and you've stuck with it through thick and thin, and you've always done very, very well. And we're just proud to say you're friends of the More Success team.
I love being friends and with all you guys, and I love the business. And we just, you know, we're in a unique position, guys. We can do whatever we want to do with this, because the service works better than ever, and the money's better than ever. And all you got to do really is talk to people. I mean, that's all you got to do is passionately talk to people. As Harlan used to say, I'll never forget this, as long as I live, he would say, Mark Brown, just transfer your belief to other people. And that's what I'm doing.
I've heard that many, many times. Well, thank you, Mr. Brown, for being on tonight. Mr. Moore, I'll turn the call back over to you.
Well, Mark Brown, appreciate what a world of information, what an inspiration you are at. We used to have a little saying, because it was just a joke, Mark, but we'd say, sell the needy and recruit the greedy.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of greedy people out there. They're not really greedy, just someone needing to supplement their income. And you hit it right on the target. From over 30 years, I've always said when I recruited somebody, I want to see what they want to do and help them be better at what they want rather than trying to change them to what I want. Mark Brown, thank you for being a friend. God bless you and Denise, and have a good evening.
Hey, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our call, but we want to thank you again for being on tonight. Remember this, God first, Legal Shield. God first, family, Legal Shield. Can't even say what I'm trying to do tonight. So I appreciate you. God bless you, and good night.